Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Tuesday, February 16th, 2021 edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and I am coming to you on what is a very Michigan day, right? That's the best way I can describe it. This day right here really just puts in perspective just how cold and just how much snow we can get at any moment during this time of the year in this state. Michigan, known for being cold, known for having a lot of snow, and we are experiencing that today. Folks, before I push forward, I really hope you guys are safe out there in this winter storm that we are experiencing. And it's not just us. It's not just us. I mean, this storm is sweeping across our nation and, you know, impacting so many different states, including even Texas. Can you believe that? Now, you can't tell me global warming isn't real or isn't throwing off some kind of equilibrium here on planet Earth, because we've never seen anything like this. But down in Texas, you know, I have two. Well, I have way more than two, actually. I know a few people who live down in Texas, and my fraternity brother, Brandon, he lives down in the Houston area, and he is dealing with power issues where the power in his home is going in and out. Pipes are frozen. You know, his brother is experiencing the same thing, and they actually had to check into a hotel because of the power issue. It's really bad down there right now, and it's so weird because, you know, his brother is a big golf fanatic like myself, and you know, I see on his Instagram all the time him playing throughout the winter, playing, you know, 18 holes, and I am just incredibly jealous. But now it's 18 degrees, there's snow on the ground, and it feels like Michigan. So, yeah, he got a taste of, they're getting a taste of home because they're all from Michigan. They're getting a taste of home right now down in Texas, of all places, right? My goodness, that's one of the spots you move from Michigan to get away from the winter, right? To get away from the snow. So it's just a crazy, crazy time when it comes to our forecast right now. And I've been reading, and there's another winter storm that is expected right after this one. So, but I got up today, and you know, I cleaned off my girlfriend's car, and it was just, you know, just getting out the door. I live in an apartment complex. Just getting out the door, I couldn't even see the steps where you walk down to the parking lot. I had to be very careful there, and then just cleaning off the snow on the car and warming the car up. My goodness, yeah, it's a tough day today. This is one of those days that make you even, you know, just for a little bit. You may not pull the trigger and do it and make that move, but you at least think about moving to a warmer climate when you wake up to something like this. All right. Oh, boy. So first off, I really hope you guys are safe. And second off, let's get to the show, right? We got a lot to get to on today's Current Sports. I'm going to play a ton of what Tom Izzo had to say, actually, during his weekly press conference yesterday. as the Michigan State men's basketball team fell yet again. Its latest loss coming on Saturday afternoon at the Breslin Center at the hands of the Iowa Hawkeyes. And that game wasn't even close, folks. I mean, from start to finish, Michigan State just got the doors blown off of it. And, you know, right now, looking at how things stand, I mean, we all know Michigan State is firmly on the bubble. And looking at the Spartan schedule from here on out, I don't see how, just looking at the regular season, I do not see a path now to making the NCAA tournament. Simple as that, folks. If they would have beaten Iowa, and I stated this last week, they needed to win out to really make a case that they don't need to, you know, sweep the table in the Big Ten tournament in order to make sure that they are in the big dance. But they needed to win out in the regular season to make sure that their name pops up somewhere. But now, you know, that loss to Iowa, just very, very ugly. And you look at the schedule moving forward for Michigan State now, with six games remaining, they will be at Purdue tonight at 7 p.m. on ESPN. Then they will be at Indiana on Saturday. And then next week, they'll be at home against Illinois on Tuesday, next week Tuesday. Ohio State comes to town on the 25th. They'll be at Maryland on the 28th, and then they finish up the regular season in the beginning of March, on March 7th, at home against Michigan, which is a makeup game from earlier in the season due to COVID-19 issues. So, you know, you look at those remaining six games, which begin tonight at Purdue, still, even if Michigan State was to run the table, I don't know. Well, I guess so, because, I mean, if you were to run the table, you would beat three teams who are currently right now in not just the top 10, but the top five. Isn't that remarkable? I mean, you've got Illinois, Ohio State, and Michigan, three Big Ten teams who are in the top five of college basketball right now. I mean, that's simply mind-blowing, right? I mean, and that's the thing about the Big Ten Conference. If there was any debate, and I don't know how there is, but if there was any debate in your mind which conference is the best in college basketball, well, just looking at that stat alone, that you have Ohio State, Michigan, and Illinois all in the top five right now, I mean, that alone just seals the deal for me that the Big Ten is the toughest gauntlet that we have in college hoops. Baylor and Gonzaga round out, you know, the other two teams in the top five. Gonzaga 1, Baylor at 2, Michigan 3, 4 Ohio State, and then 5 Illinois. That is incredible, folks. So I don't see how, especially with the way Michigan State is playing right now, how they do run the table. And I don't know how they beat Illinois, Ohio State, or Michigan. Because right now, when you look at what happened against Iowa on Saturday, I mean, that was a 30-point loss, folks. 88-58 was the final in that game. And there are just so many glaring problems. It's just like, you know, I don't know where you even start. I don't know where you begin, because there's so many holes in the boat right now. And it's so weird to be saying this, because usually this is the time of the year that we start to see Michigan State basketball become like this unstoppable team that you do not want to play. But it's just a different year, guys. It is just a different year. And a problem that has been a major, major problem throughout this season has been the point guard issue. Because if you look at great Tom Izzo teams of the past, we're talking about great point guards who have led the way, who have become an extension of Tom Izzo's leadership. Tom Izzo always talks about being a player coach team, and usually that you know, those players are led by the point guard in that leadership department. This year you just can't say that. It's a different year. And then now you talk about the point guard position. the availability of two of the Spartans' three-point guards is now in question heading into tonight's game. Rocket Watts wasn't feeling good over the weekend. He left Saturday's game due to illness symptoms. Tom Izzo did say yesterday that Watts remains ill, and he has not practiced since Saturday's game. Major blow. Izzo also called Foster Lawyer, who has started the last four games at point guard. He called Foster Lawyer questionable yesterday with a shoulder injury. Lawyer injured his left shoulder against Penn State, and he played wearing a brace against Iowa, if you noticed that on the broadcast. So as of yesterday afternoon, and in just a moment, you're going to hear from Tom Izzo. You're going to hear much of his press conference from yesterday. But as of yesterday afternoon, Izzo said that both players are likely to play at Purdue, but was unsure as to what extent. Saying, quote, how much or what? I don't know that. I do think both will be able to play. So, yeah. And it's going to force, I believe it's going to force, when you look at those two headlines, Rocket dealing with some kind of illness symptoms, but he's testing negative for COVID, which is a good thing. So don't know how much and how hard he'll be able to go tonight. And then Foster with the shoulder injury, you got to really lean on freshman A.J. Hogard. He's going to have to play a larger role than he has in recent games. And Izzo also did note that Joshua Langford or Aaron Henry could slide over, you know, to point if need be. That's like, you know, that's like the last scenario. If you need to do that, then you do that. But, you know, if you don't have a true point guard, it's really hard to win in college basketball, man. If you don't have a true point guard running that show, it just throws everything out of whack, especially for an offense like Michigan State's, which relies heavily on great point guard play, which is why we've seen in recent years, you know, and grading the success of Tom Izzo's teams, you know, guys like, you know, Keith Appling, guys like Denzel Valentine, guys like Cassius Winston, guys like Kalen Lucas. You know, those are tough, smart, gritty point guards who know how to run an offense and also how to balance running an offense and facilitating the basketball with scoring as well. And Michigan State just does not have that. It just don't. And then don't even get me started on the play down, you know, in the paint on the inside. Just really a tough front court for Michigan State right now. So, yeah, man, I don't know. There's just so many problems. And then, I don't know if you guys saw this headline, but this week we learned that Enoch Boyacki, he has announced that he will be decommitting from Tom Izzo's program. You know, an already horrible season, Michigan State basketball takes another blow. Enoch Boyacki, big-time commit. He told SI.com that he feels he wouldn't be able to make an immediate impact in East Lansing. This is what he had to say, quote, just doing a lot of research with my people and watching a lot of games, it looks like they will have a lot of guys staying. I want to go to a place where I have the opportunity to make an impact right away. That's the number one goal of mine, end quote. Can't knock that decision, right? Of course, Spartan fans, when you heard this news, or if you're just now digesting this news after hearing it here on WKAR's Current Sports, you may be feeling some type of way. You may be feeling salty. And you may be going on a rant right now in your mind or with coworkers or friends or family, whoever's around you, about how kids don't know the value of sticking by their word today. But this is not new. I always say if there is one aspect to my job that I really do not feel, that I really can't get jiggy with, no matter how many years we cover it. It's the recruiting trail. Because these 14, 15, 16, and even younger kids are treated like Jesus shuttles were from He Got Game. If you haven't seen that, starring Ray Allen and Denzel Washington, please give it a look-see. But they're treated like Jesus shuttles were, like royalty. And you don't know how these kids are going to turn out, but you got to play the game because every other school is doing it, and you never know what's going to woo that young man or woman to your program to make your program a better program on the court or the field. So you got to play the game because other schools are playing the game. And if you don't play the game, you won't get the talent that you need in order to be successful, in order to win games, and in order to keep your job. So you got to play this stupid game. But on the flip side of things, I think about this as well. It's college sports, and especially when you look at the big-time, big-revenue sports like college basketball and college football, these kids don't see a dime. Now, that's changing. Things are changing, and we're trending in the right direction, finally. But right now, they're still not making what they should make. So at the end of the day, you got to look out for self. That's how it's got to be. Because the NCAA could care less about you. You got to put yourself in the best position to get where you want to be. And all power to you, because you as a player, you have very little power as a player. Even though you are a big reason why fans are spending their hard-earned money to watch your program and to support that school. Athletics are a big reason why. We all know that. We're talking about a $1 billion industry, folks, when you talk about college athletics. And the student athletes who play the games, they don't see a dime of it. Again, that is changing. It's going to take some time for it to change, but people are in position right now in order to impact change in a positive way so that these young men and women can start to see some of that revenue in their bank accounts. But right now, you got to look out for self. And Boyacki's got a very good point. With Michigan State playing and being as bad of a team as they are, you better believe there are going to be a lot of players on this roster who, when deciding whether or not to stay for another year or to try and dip his toe into the NBA waters, most are going to stay because you're probably not going to the big dance, which means you're probably not going to be seen by a lot of NBA scouts. It just hurts you. It just does. So you got to come back to give this thing another go so that you can bolster that resume in hopes of being drafted higher than you are right now or being looked at in a better light than you are right now, playing for this very bad Michigan State basketball team. So with guys coming back, a young pup like Enoch Boyacki, the likelihood of him just coming in the door and being the starter off rip like he wants to do, it becomes slimmer. There's still a chance, sure, because at the end of the day, the best man for the job hopefully is going to get that spot, even though I think the Tom Izzo has made some mistakes when it comes to managing his roster this season. So even with that being said, if there's a doubt there, I mean, hey, you got to do what's best for you. And you're looking at what's happening at Michigan State right now, and you're saying, I want to go somewhere else where I have a better opportunity to play right away. I get it. This team has had a remarkably poor season. He feels that a lot of the players currently on the roster will still be there when he would get to EL. You can't blame him. I completely understand his reasoning, and more power to him for recognizing it and just saying, hey, man, I'm going to come out here and face the music and announce it publicly. I'm going to decommit. And I'm going to give you a reason as to why I decommitted. Because usually when you see a young man of this caliber decommit and decide to go somewhere else, they just say, just not a good fit for me. And don't expound upon why. They just kind of leave you in the air to speculate, even though we kind of know why you did. But Enoch Boyacki came out and just said, hey, man, this is why. I want to play right away. I don't think I'll have the opportunity to do that, looking at how this season is shaking and looking at this roster. And this is a blow to Tom Izzo and his program, because Boyacki, he has the potential to be one of the best big men in college hoops. And that's a glaring problem. As I just stated, Michigan State's front court is poor. You're missing guys like Nick Ward, right? Adrian Payne, Brandon Dawson, Xavier Tillman. That's the thing. You know, Michigan State has always had like great point guard play and at least one guy who could just be beastly down in the paint. And you don't have that with this roster. So getting Boyacki would have been fantastic. And it's going to be tough now watching him blossom into, I think he's going to be a great player wherever he goes. And that's going to be tough to watch. So, you know, on the bright side, hopefully, and you can't even guarantee this, but hopefully, Izzo lands number one recruit. You know, the most hyped high school basketball player since LeBron James. Hopefully, Izzo nails Imani Bates. Bates is one of the most highly sought-after recruits in recent history. And, you know, we'll never know now what that 1-2 punch could have been, right? Bates and Boyacki on the same team? My gosh. But hopefully, Imani decides to play college basketball and play for Tom Izzo. We will see, though. Don't hold your breath. Because, again, this is a perfect example. You never know what these young men are going to do. You know, it's funny when I have these recruiting conversations with people here in the area who are Spartan basketball faithful, and they say, we're going to get Bates out. We're going to get him. And I just say, oh, yeah, just don't hold your breath, though. Because you never know, man. Recruiting is an unpredictable game. It is a science that we have not figured out yet. So just approach with caution. Please have on that blinking yellow light when having a discussion with your feelings as to whether or not Imani Bates will be rocking the green and white in East Lansing. Now, schools that have already contacted Boyacki since his announcement include Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, Arizona State, Arizona, USC, Kentucky, Washington State, Gonzaga, and yes, Coach K and the Duke Blue Devils. So he's got many options here, folks. He's got many, many, many options. So as far as, you know, Michigan State goes, tonight playing Purdue is going to be another tough game. Travion Williams, we all know what happened back in January, the beginning of January. Travion Williams, he played spoiler. It's Michigan State, you know, led throughout a lot of that game, and then Purdue came storming back in the second half, and Michigan State really just let one man beat them. Again, the lack of a front court play. I really thought that Marcus Bingham should have played more in that game, though, to give Michigan State some more length and to possibly bother the looks that Travion Williams had. But Travion Williams, you know, he got, you know, the little baby jump hook jumper. And that's what beat Michigan State by 1 point. 1 point at home. So a golden opportunity to get a dub at home, gone. Now you have to go to the road at Purdue and try and beat them there. And, you know, Michigan State in that game, my goodness. You know, Purdue came back from 17 points down in the second half. 17 points down. And Travion Williams won the game. And Williams, he finished with 26 points in that game, his second highest total of the season, and that's got to be the priority tonight, right? Because if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You better believe that Purdue is going to go to Travion Williams and see if he can duplicate what he was able to do back on January 8th. So we'll see. You know, I expect to see multiple bodies thrown at Travion Williams. I expect to see Marcus Bingham playing a lot more minutes than he did on that January 8th meeting in East Lansing, Michigan. I expect them to be more physical with him and make somebody else beat you. You know? And it's just, it'll just be good for Tom Izzo's team to get back on the hardwood, because it's like after you get blown out by that much, I mean, they lost by 30 points against Iowa. You want to play that next game as soon as possible in order for you to get that bad taste out your mouth of losing by 30 points. Just play another game, like Izzo said. Just play another game. Right now, in the latest line that I saw, it looks as though Michigan State is a 6-point dog in this game. 6-point dog. I think I saw some places like 6.5, but Purdue is the favorite in this game. But for me, what I'm going to be looking at is the point guard play. I don't know how many minutes. You know, of course, we're going to be looking at how many minutes Foster Lawyer and Rocket Watts do play. If they don't play a lot, we'll see if A.J. Hogard can grow up a bit. And if he doesn't, let's see if Izzo tries Langford or Henry at the point. We will see, but you got to try anything at this point. You're trying to stop the bleeding at this point. And you're trying to finish the year strong. And Izzo was also asked about the streak. Again, I'm going to play his press conference in a matter of minutes here. He was also asked about the streak. It is, you know, 22 straight seasons. Would have been 23 if we had a March Madness back in 2020. But 22 straight NCAA tournament appearances dating back to the 1997-1998 year for Tom Izzo's squad. Isn't that amazing? That is such a remarkable streak, and that's what's on the line here. That's what we're talking about here. And Izzo was asked about the streak and said that, look, man, records are meant to be broken, and he doesn't hold too much weight into it because, you know, he doesn't look at streaks to measure the consistent greatness of a program. He just looks at consistency, which really that's like all in the same, right? Because if you're making tournaments consistently, that shows that you are a consistent winning program, I should say. You'll hear him expound upon more of that in just a moment, but you better believe the streak means a lot to Tom Izzo. I mean, that's why you come to Michigan State, and you just don't come to Michigan State to play in the Big Dance. That's almost like a given. Like, yeah, you're going to make the tournament. You're Michigan State. But you expect to go deep come March. And it's an odd year for many different reasons, and you can, you know, I now want to know, I'm going to ask this question because I want to know where you place the blame at. Because if Michigan State doesn't make the tournament, you got to look at certain areas as to why and evaluate why this happened this year. Why was this year different? 22 straight NCAA tournament appearances, and this year was the different year that didn't allow them to go. Do you blame it on COVID? Do you blame it on the lack of talent? Do you blame it on Coach Izzo? Who are you placing the blame? Where, I should say, are you placing the blame on the failures of this Michigan State basketball season? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Leave us a comment anywhere there on our Facebook page. And you can hop on Twitter. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Let's hit our first break. When you come back, we will hear from Tom Izzo and how he is prepping for tonight's matchup against Purdue and how he's digesting everything that's happened this year. We'll be right back. right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. You just heard my thoughts on the woes that have been this season for the Michigan State men's basketball program, trying to get the bad taste out of their mouths based on what happened on Saturday against the Iowa Hawkeyes. The Spartans are back at it tonight, 7 p.m. on national television, ESPN. Can they rebound and enact a bit of revenge against the Purdue Boilermakers, who came in and stole a win in the final moments back on January 8th? Well, here's a bit of what Tom Izzo had to say during his Monday afternoon press conference in preparation for tonight's matchup.
Off a game like we did Saturday, I think the best thing that you can do is play another game, and that's what we get to do. It'll be a little bit of a rough tread, and we're probably going to bust down today. I guess the weather is supposed to be really bad, so we'll be going back to our Division II roots, and we'll bust down and bust back. But it's, you know, it'll give us a good chance to get back on track. You know, you have a game like that where a team shoots really well and you don't play as well, and you got to remind yourself that it's only one game. Got 8 games left, and we plan on playing all 8 games, hopefully a lot better than we did. As far as Purdue goes, they too, you know, we had a tough game with them here, one that we led all but the last, you know, minute or so, and get beat at the buzzer. It was a tough loss for us then. Matt's done a good job with his team. I think he's, you know, always been one of the best coaches in this league. They've kind of balanced some young guys with some old guys. And, of course, Travion Williams is a stud. And he's been a stud since he's been there. He keeps getting better and better. He's been a double-double machine and has played well against us, having a phenomenal second half the last game. So, be honest with you, we practiced yesterday. We practiced pretty well. We're looking forward to having a good one today and then jumping on a bus, getting out of here. As far as Rocket's concerned, he's gone through the 2 days. He has been, he has tested negative. He is sick. He's got the flu, I guess. So he hasn't practiced at all. I mean, it took till yesterday to get the proper protocol that they were following, like we did with Kithier. Whether he'll practice today, I don't know, but he is available for the game, which is good news. As far as anything else, as you saw, Foster Lawyer, I've had a few people ask me, you know, his shoulder on his left shoulder is, I don't know if it popped out, but he damaged it at Nebraska a couple weeks ago, and then he really hurt it against Penn State. And, you know, he's didn't practice either, but is questionable for the game. So other than that, we've got our players, we got our coaches, and we're going to go play the game.
We'll start with questions in the chat, please. And first question, we'll go to Lindsey Huddleston.
Hi, Tom. I've been thinking about this for a while, and I don't know if you actually signaled this to us at the beginning of the season when you were talking about the fans, but the Izzone and the Cameron Crazies, that double-edged sword that comes with success. And now that you don't have that, and then you talk about players that don't have the energy all the time, going back to what you talked about at the beginning of the season to now, can you talk about the impact of fans even more so now than the beginning of the season?
You know, Lindsey, I think fans are definitely important everywhere. And, you know, we're going to a place where they're important. Duke, it was important. I've always thought, you know, if you could take the same 2 games and play one at home on a Monday and one on the road on a Wednesday, and you could have 5, 6, 7-point difference as far as the gamblers look at it. Home court advantage is big. Home court advantage is really big for us because we've been sold out with the Izzone, and it's been so good over the years. But it's good everywhere. But, you know, the funny thing is sometimes guys get motivated playing on the road in front of fans. You know, when there's no fans, it's difficult at times. But everybody handles it. It's the same for everybody, so there's no excuses. But it is different, and it is something that, you know, I don't think has helped us in a couple of these games. I don't think if Magic was playing the other day, it would have helped us the way the game went. But I'd say there are a couple other games that you'd hope to win at home. And I'm sure other teams feel the same. I mean, it is the same for everybody, but we do have definitely one of the better home court advantages year in, year out.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll go next to Chris Solari.
Hey, Tom, I noticed with Foster and with Rocket out, you did go to a little bit with Langford running the offense down the stretch. I mean, if they're both out, is that – I mean, when you're running low on guards at that point, what kind of options do you have of running the offense?
Well, first of all, I do think both will be able to play. How much or what, I don't know that. But, you know, I look back to and, you know, A.J. You know, played pretty well against them last time. But the reason I looked at Josh or even Aaron, you know, I was reminded of, you know, early on we went with a Chris Hill at the point who was a two guard. And, you know, we just have to change our package up, but it gives us some ability. It gives us maybe another guy like Gabe to play on the wing, and we could go with a little bigger lineup and maybe a little better shooting than we've been shooting. So it's definitely in the game plan that we could use it. I don't think we'll start out that way, but today, tomorrow, we'll kind of tell in a couple different ways. But AJ is, you know, is ready to play, and he played pretty well against him last time.
For a guy like AJ, if he does have to play more minutes, I mean, what's his ceiling right now in terms of minutes?
You know, I'd say I think he played 25 or 6 last game. I mean, as you know, he's lost some weight over this season. He's really done a better job of trying to keep himself in great shape. So I think he can. Now, Purdue, on the other hand, throws a lot of people at you. You know, they're playing a lot of people usually, and especially at the guards, they're playing 5 and 6 guards all the time. So, you know, that could be a factor, but if we have to go, if those guys can't play much and we have to go to Aaron or Josh, I think both of them handled it pretty well the other day. We just might have to change our break in that a little bit. But other than that, I think we can – that'll be no excuse.
We'll go next to Matt Charbonneau.
Do you worry about – and I don't know, you guys try not to pay attention to it and, you know, take it game by game, but do you – feel like the guys are feeling that pressure of seeing how many games are left, how many games you think you have to win to be in a certain point? Do they start thinking about that? Does it affect them in a game when things start going bad and maybe they start thinking, now, man, here we go again, and it's hard to kind of pull out of that?
I mean, I think if you be realistic about it, everybody knows when it gets to be February on what kind of games you got to win. And it's a little there's some discrepancy this year because I don't know, you know, as I said, there's so many things that can happen in the next 3 weeks. None more evident than maybe a team gets COVID or some individual players do. You're kind of living day by day, game by game. And so I don't know if it's as easy to predict who could be in the tournament. What are the magical numbers? Who's going to play the right amount of games? There's so many variables. So I try to address it that, hey, we got to get better every game and we got to win games, but not like some years where you can say you got to win 18, you got to win 19, you got to, you know, I mean, we don't even play as many games this year, but I'm just saying we haven't addressed it in that respect, but they're human. They listen to, you know, Twitter. They know what's out there. They know that, they've got to win games and, I don't think that's undue pressure on them because I think when you come here, you understand it. Now having one of those seasons where you're in jeopardy of that, of course, it probably affects them a little more. But I don't think they say during a game, oh, here we go again. I think that was an ambush the other day. And as we look back on the tape, you know, I mean, I think 5 of their first 7 threes were shots with guys shooting 20-some percent from the three. Give McCaffrey credit. He hits 4 out of 6. Give Murray credit. He hits 2 out of 2. That hasn't been the norm. And consequently, you get all of a sudden, you get 18 points worth of threes in the first half that maybe you didn't have when you played them there. That's a huge difference, and we didn't overcome it. So, but I don't think on a day-to-day basis that would have any effect on the game. I think it has effect on the overall pressure. Sure it does. I mean, and that's the same at Duke and Kentucky and Carolina and everywhere else that has had long runs in the tournament.
And when it comes to Purdue specifically, obviously when you guys played them before, you played pretty well defensively for most of that game. What are some of those positives you can kind of take into this?
You know, well, we actually played pretty well offensively the first half of the game. I mean, we really did. The ball was moving. We're making shots. I thought they did a pretty good job second half, but I thought we did a poor job. We turned it over more in the second half, and they were some unforced turnovers. We did not shoot the ball very well the second half, and probably some of it was their defense, but some of it was our offense. And there were some incredible calls and plays at, you know, the last 4 minutes of that game. And, you know, you win a game like that. I mean, we did have a 5-6 point lead late. You know, it does change some things. This is one of those years where we didn't win a game like that. So we've won our share of them over the years, but I think there are some positive things we could take out of it. And one is how we defended. You know, we fouled a little bit too much inside, but as I say, there's always choices you make. Do you try to take away Travion? Do you try to take away Garza? Do you can't give up threes? You know, Purdue's been like us at times where they're not shooting the ball great from the three either at times, but they've had some games when they have shot the ball well. And Sasha has been out. I mean, he's played in the last two games, hasn't scored a bucket. He's, you know, is their best shooter. Now he's got a couple weeks under his belt with after the COVID, because he was the one guy that had it. I expect to see him playing better and better. The kid Ivy has really stepped up in his absence, and he's going to be a good player there. He's just kind of getting his own feet under him, and I think he's done a very good job.
Go next to Kyle Austin.
Tom, I'm wondering when you look back at Iowa, how you thought you guys did against Luka in that game, and is there any positives you kind of take going forward as how they're defending bigs?
You know, it wasn't like we just double-teamed them with everybody. I mean, there were some, you know, there was a couple of plays that, you know, yes, we did give McCaffrey some shots, the same shots we gave him at Purdue. I thought we did a decent job on Garza, but I don't think it's because we threw everybody at him. I think, you know, our guys did a decent job. He has a couple of tendencies. I thought we did all right taking those away. He missed some of those shots inside. But he's a good passer, and Williams is a phenomenal passer. I mean, Williams has point guard passing skills. He really does. He's maybe the best center passer in the country, if you ask me, from what I've seen. I mean, he can throw him behind his head. He can throw him behind his back. He can throw him straight forward. He has very good vision and very, very good feel for the game. So guarding him will be a little different. Plus, he's quicker, you know, his quick steps. He's got quicker steps. But we can look at some of the things we did, and we'll definitely build off that because we did do a decent job on Garza.
And if I may follow, this is probably a better question for a golf course at a charity outing in July, but how important is the NCAA streak to you?
You know, what I learned from older coaches, I just talked to Coach Katie today, and streaks are important, but as I've heard a lot of pro players talk about, records are made to be broken. I mean, of course the streak is important to me because it's something special, you know. This streak of the every senior going to a Final Four was special. And when that ended with one of my favorite teams, you know, Gary Harris and Adrian and Brandon Dawson and Keith and those teams back then, Denzel, that was, you know, a tough streak too. But there's a lot of basketball left. And one thing I think about this year is I don't know what it's going to take to get in, because I don't know who's going to be left standing. You know, it seems like it's gone back and forth between men and women. Now, though, I see some women's programs, North Carolina State, Louisville, that are getting shut down, you know, and there hasn't been as many men's programs recently. Is that going to change? I don't know. But there's so many factors that we have no control of, we're just going to keep trying to win as many games as we can and play better and get better. I mean, we got to play better at Purdue. And so that's kind of the goal right now. Every streak here since the day I came here means something to me. Every win means something to me. But I don't look at success or failure on streaks. I look at consistency over years.
Again, Tom Izzo, head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, and him giving his thoughts on what has happened this year, giving his thoughts on the streak, giving his thoughts on, you know, Rocket Watts and Foster Lawyer, dealing with, you know, an illness with Rocket and a shoulder injury with Foster. Just dealing with a lot this season. When we come back after this final break, I'll put a bow on this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to the show. If you are just now tuning in, where have you been? It's time to put the show to bed, actually. Before I do want to say Happy Mardi Gras. Happy Mardi Gras, folks. That's right, or Fat Tuesday. It refers to the events of the carnival celebration beginning on or after the Christian feast and culminating on the day before Ash Wednesday. So, yeah, you know, NOLA is known to be the area that really goes out all out for Mardi Gras. It's part of the city's tradition. You know, I used to eat king cake with my former engineer, Isaac Constance, around this time of the year when he was working for us back in the day. Isaac is a native of New Orleans. He's actually going to be on Current Sports. I'm trying to get him on at some point during the later part of the week to talk about a commit that Michigan State basketball got who's going to be playing both basketball and football. He's from Louisiana. So we'll have Isaac on hopefully later on this week. But happy Mardi Gras. Happy Fat Tuesday to you. I stopped at my local food mart last night and picked up two boxes. I should not be doing this. You guys know I'm a workout buff, but I love my sweets as well. Especially, I do this every Fat Tuesday. I get two boxes. Yes, that's a bit excessive, but don't judge me. I get two boxes of Poonchkies, and I got them right now. I'm actually staring at them as they stare me down from my kitchen counter. You know what? I'm going to take a Poonchkie break. All right, and then for you guys out there, I'm going to have a cup of coffee and a Poonchkie right now while working from home. And for you guys out there, we're going to take a 23-hour break, all right? So enjoy your Poonchkie. Hopefully you're chowing down on some today or have or will be. And we'll see you on the Wednesday Hump Day edition of Current Sports. Be well, all right? Be safe, be smart, and as always, be easy, people.